Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How wonderful to see you all here on this early summer's evening at the beginning, 28 days to go to polling day of what I hope will be an historic parliamentary election. I have been a member of parliament across 37 years, which is most of my adult life. And I'm running for one final term for the same reasons as was just explained. Number one, because I believe we have to generate a new generation of leaders that will take these causes of justice, of peace, of equality, of haq, will take those causes forward. And secondly, because I want to be the one that gives those two cheeks of that same arse a very good kicking on the 4th of July. We're all sitting together, Dr. Kalila, with Jeremy Corbyn and you and me and Aroma and Shanaz and many of the candidates that we're running up and down the country, hundreds of them, north, south, east and west, white and black, Muslim, non-Muslim, doctors like you and labourers like me. The span, the breadth of our candidates list is really, really inspiring. And everyone's fighting for the same cause. And I was greatly moved in the late afternoon when I could look at these hundreds of candidates, all of them on the ballot paper, all of them carrying our symbol, that cog, which symbolizes from whence we came. There are not many cogs left turning in Britain today, and that is the problem. The problem is that our country has been allowed to decline and decline, first in its economy and second in its public service, its public realm, as was just explained as I was coming in. You and I wouldn't say we're in the departure lounge. No. We're on in the corridor where the departure lounge is. But we are of an age. And we're of an age to remember when, if you needed a doctor's appointment, you just went to the doctor's. If you needed a hospital treatment, you just went to the hospital. If you needed a place for your child in the school, you just registered them. If you needed a swim in a municipal swimming pool, you just went there and paid a publicly subsidized price. Indeed, in my early life, I had no inside toilet or bathroom. So not only did I go for a swim in a public swimming pool, I went for a bath every week. Sorry to tell you, in those days you had a bath once a week, but I had to have mine in a council bathhouse. And then you went into the swimming pool. If you were a kid, you had a community center. You had youth services. Your father had a job at the top of the road, and if he lost it, he could drive a couple of miles and get another one. And your father's wage was enough to keep the whole family, so your mother could stay at home and bring up the children. That's how it was then. And it was a better country then. It was a better world then. We didn't have, somebody asked me the other day, what are you going to do about the mental health crisis in Britain? I said, I'm so old. I remember when we didn't have a mental health crisis. It is the system that we have that is making people sick. Making them sick in their minds with all kinds of depravity and degeneracy. Abroad, speaking of which, I see Keith Vaz is making a comeback. The Labour MP, Keith Vaz. There's women and children present. I won't go into the details, but that such a man could have held such high office in British politics for so long is a measure of the way things have gone in our country. Not everything was good in the country. Racism was worse. There were wars. My earliest memory as a young teenager just getting into politics was the sight of British troops gunning down Yemenis in the greater district of Aden in the Yemen. I saw it again last night, more British troops killing Yemenis, this time by air in a Palestinian camp near the Coca-Cola factory in the Fakani district. I was dining often with the late President Arafat and his people. I didn't want to come home, I wanted to stay. But Arafat told me, you're of no use to us here, we have enough fighters, enough martyrs. We need you to go back to Britain and fight for us there. And I promised that I would do so, and it's a promise I have kept. And all these years later, decades later, I'm still here. And as long as God gives me breath, I will continue to make the case for Palestine. I have traveled 5 times, thousands of miles, at the head of convoys to break the siege on Gaza, traveling through dictatorships, Arab dictatorships, who clubbed us, who sabotaged us, who refused us. Hundreds of us, ordinary British people, most of them white, English, Scottish people. Never let them try to say Palestine is only a Muslim issue. Most of the people on the marches every week are not Muslims. But finally we got through, and we got through, and we got through. 5 times we got through. I'm telling you that to make the obvious point that none of this began on October the 7th. Only a complete illiterate could claim that this began on October the 7th of last year. It didn't even just begin 76 years ago in the catastrophe, the Nakba. It began in the building where Dr. Khalila and I hope, will soon be sitting together in the British Parliament, when on behalf of one people, the British Prime Minister promised to a second people the land that belonged to a third people. And that Balfour Declaration began a descent down a bloody staircase which leads us to where we are today. And many of you are from, your fathers and mothers and grandfathers at least are from, other parts of the British Empire where similarly cynical, self-serving decisions were made by the empire in the partition, in the situation in Kashmir, in many places. British footprints, the fingerprints of our rulers are deeply involved in the misery and violence that has dogged so many parts of our former empire sins. But in Palestine, we didn't even possess Palestine as a colonial possession at the moment that we gave it away to somebody else. We gave it away to a European settler who wanted a piece of the colonial action, was prepared to take Uganda, prepared to take the Seychelles, prepared to take Patagonia in Argentina, was prepared to take anywhere that they could establish their white European colonial settlement. And it is the eternal misery of the Arabs in Palestine that they were eventually settled upon as the site of what they call Israel. None of what I'm saying could be said by any Labour politician. It's not just that they wouldn't say it, they couldn't say it. They'd be expelled for saying it. They'd be smeared and slandered as an anti-Semite for saying it. But we in the Workers' Party alone say that Palestine will be free from the river to the sea. And we will not rest until it is. The media like to throw up their hands in horror at that. But why? What's wrong with being free? What, do you want them to be unfree? What's wrong with between the river and the sea? That's what Palestine was. And inshallah, one day will be again. So we are bold. I like to think we are brave, but above all, we are clear. We stand with the oppressed against the oppressor. We stand for what is right. And that's why I'm appealing to you to vote with your conscience on the 4th of July. Some people say you should vote for the lesser of two evils. But, first of all, if you do, evil always wins. I mean, it's a matter of simple logic. If you choose the lesser of two evils, somebody that's evil will always win. Why not choose somebody that isn't evil? Wouldn't that be a better idea? But in any case, it is impossible to discern in today's Britain which of these two men is the lesser of two evils. I'll be candid with you, and I know both of them. I've just spent 54 days sitting in this parliament. Up close and personal, for me, Starmer is more evil than Sunak. More likely to do anything that Netanyahu asks. More likely to do anything that Biden or Trump asks. More likely to take us into war after war. More likely to betray the working people of this country. If I may, in this sports club, quote my brother Malcolm X. Malcolm explained it thus: there are wolves and there are foxes. The wolf is obvious. He looks at you. Obviously, he intends to eat you. But the fox appears to be smiling, while its intention is exactly the same. Well, give me a wolf before the fox anytime. I'd rather have an honest enemy than a lying, deceiving enemy that pretends to be any kind of friend of the people. And I'm asking you to vote with your consciences on the 4th of July. And it's not like we are offering you any kind of paper candidate. Dr. Kalila would be a credit to this community. She would be an enormous asset to the cause of the National Health Service in Parliament. She wouldn't embarrass you. Still less would you wake up and feel ashamed like the people in Ashton-under-Lyne have to do most every week with Angela Rayner as their MP. Compare the two. Angela Rayner and Dr. Kalila, compare them. Rayner is the Labour idea of a woman. Dr. Kalila is our idea of a woman. And I prefer Dr. Kalila any day of the week. And she'll win if you vote for her. I mean, that's as simple as that. We've gotten into a habit in this country of thinking, well, you know, that or this is a wasted vote. First of all, no vote is wasted if it was cast with your conscience behind it. On the contrary, it's to your credit that you did so. But in this febrile election, when millions of usually Labour voters are abandoning Labour in their millions in places like Birmingham, central Birmingham, where we're poised to win at least three MPs, the chances of Labour winning those seats is virtually zero. Ask the bookmakers. I mean, it's a matter of mathematics. If millions of people who used to vote for you are not going to vote for you, you cannot win. And that is the situation that we are now in this general election, and maybe again in the future, but in this general election, with, let me go through them, all those young people that have been on all those Palestine marches, are they going to vote Labour? Hardly. Not likely. All these Muslims, 3 million Muslim voters, are they going to vote Labour? Not likely. How could they? All those people that have been distressed and brokenhearted with what they've been watching on their phone, on their screen, not their TV screen. If you were depending on your TV screen, you wouldn't know the half of it. But who is dependent on their TV screen nowadays? Hardly anybody under the age of 60. Everyone's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, got a tablet that they can surf the internet and find the news. So who that has been watching the last 8 months is going to vote Labour? That means that hundreds of Labour seats are up for grabs. This is one of them. Dr. Kalila is by far the best challenger, and I hope that you'll give her your support. Wassalamu alaikum.